So I know you're a little bit more into like the American sports, and one of them being, you know, the NFL, American football. And I have recently seen in the news and in the social medias something about a collision that happened, and apparently it's all big. And I wanted you to give me a little more context if you do know. It got me confused first because the player is called Tua, or I think that's his last name, Tua. And apparently this guy was in a collision. He's very young. And he was in a collision where he sort of lost, you know, control of his body. His hands were curling up, and that's like a sign of like a very hard concussion. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this because it seems that, you know, the whole talk about CTE and in NFL, it's a big talk, and it's becoming more relevant because we're seeing like younger and younger kids. But yeah, do you have more info on this? Have you heard of it? Can you give me some context on it?
Tua Tagovailoa. I can't say his last name, but Tua is his name. He plays for the Dolphins, and he has had a bunch of a history of concussions. So, and then this one was pretty sick in a sick way, not cool. And it's probably going to keep him out for a while. And a lot of people are saying that he needs to retire because this is not the first time. And this is probably going to keep happening. He's just 26. And at 26, you know, you already made your mills. Because he signed a very big contract with the Dolphins recently. And I think this was going to be the first year on the new contract. And, you know, for people to say that he needs to retire, it kind of sucks.
Is
He
he a
seems pretty good.
quarterback or he's a running
He's a
back?
quarterback.
He's a
A
quarterback.
quarterback,
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I saw the collision. Even though it looked harsh to me, it didn't look that much crazier than like your normal collision you see in games. There are other collisions, like I saw one with Antonio Brown, where it looked a lot worse. And I mean, it seems like that guy, you know, it has caused an effect. So I mean, what do you think about this? There was a movie, you know, some years back called, I think it was called Concussion, I think, with Will
With
Smith.
Will Smith.
Yeah, that he's like a doctor from Nigeria. He's the first one to open up a brain of a deceased football player and, you know, see what CTE does in the brain. I mean, like, they have the helmets, they have the padding, but at the end of the day, when you have a collision with your head, even if the things around it make it softer, you're still going through a concussion. Like, you know, for example, like I ride mountain bike and I use a helmet that has, you know, these paddings and things. And if I have a collision, hopefully I never do, knock on wood. And if I hit my head, this is supposed to protect it as much as possible. But ideally, you don't want to get hit in the head at all, even with the helmet. And these football players get hit continuously. So I know that there's hardcore people that think, look, this is the game. Like, you know, this is how it's supposed to be played. Just like people accept if you're a boxer or an UFC fighter that you might have, you know, damage for the rest of your life. This is something that people need to accept if you play football. I mean, that is one argument. The other is, you know, should there even be an option for kids to pursue and have this? Because I understand that you also have bad sort of effects when you start getting hit in high school and then college too. So, what do you think?
Football, it would be one of those sports that I don't foresee my son playing. Not because I wouldn't want him to, but just thinking about all the head trauma that can go into it and how fucked up can get you. It's not something I would like to have my son pursue, right? When I was in high school, I played a little football for a couple of weeks, and I didn't make it far. I was very against the hits. I got hit pretty hard, not in the head, thankfully. But yeah, not fun. So I don't know. I mean, they're still gonna make their millions, unfortunately, but to what cost, right? And now the NFL is coming out with like new padding for the helmets. And I have a couple of pictures here that I wanted to show you.
Okay.
And show the people what we were talking about. They have a name. I can't remember the name now, but
okay, this is what... It's like they have padding in the outside as well.
As well. And then this is in training. And then this... one second. This is how it would look during the game. So they have like a cap that goes over it. You know, it looks like a the team helmet.
I mean, I think that this is not bad. I mean, a lot of sports across the years have become safer. Like if you look at Formula One and NASCAR, you know, NASCAR 50 years ago, it was a lot more dangerous. Now there's a lot better cages around the cars and you're a lot more protected. So, I mean, I don't see it as a bad thing. Do you know if there's pushback for the helmet? Like maybe the players say it's too heavy, it's annoying. Or like fans are like, no, I want to see my guy get CTE like in the back, you know, like back in the days.
Well, the few players, because you have the choice of wearing this or not. And then the ones that have been playing with it, I have said that there's no difference inside or on weight. It doesn't make it any more heavy or and it's actually, it says that, you know, it doesn't seem like they're playing with anything else other than the helmet that they already have on. And like you said, the Formula One has also done, have added new things to their cars. So less accidents or less people dying would happen when they go super fast. And then they have these things called the halo on the Formula One cars that, you know, it helps against the impact of, you know, maybe flipping over or hitting right, against
it,
the wall.
Like it covers all the head part so that you don't, you know, get your head blown. Yeah, I mean, I'm not against all of these things making the sport safer. Do you think there's like purists that do find it like, oh man, they're making it like for pussies and shit just because they don't want these guys to have a horrible, like, you know, old life?
I've never seen or I never heard anyone, you know, say that they wouldn't have this in their car. I think they're pretty for...
This is the halo thing on the Formula One.
Yeah.
So, like, even if you flip over or anything, it's always there protecting your head.
Correct.
Okay. I'm cool with this.
I'm not against it.
The thing is, like, football specifically is a very contact-based sport, right? Because, like, if we look at world football, right, soccer, I mean, you can break your leg, you can have bad injuries, but you don't really have an issue of fucking up your head. You know what I mean? Although there is new studies that show that even playing soccer, there are small concussions that you get when you head the ball in. So that is a thing, but it's very light. But other than that, I mean, the things that can happen to you are just like, yeah, your feet, your legs get injured, like in basketball, in baseball too. Okay, so this is what the halo does in action. Even if the car is flipped, you won't hit your head directly in the ground with the weight of the car because the halo will be protecting you. This is what keeps them alive. If this was in the 1950s, that guy was gone.
He would be visiting his grandma. Also, it's an opportunity to put more, how do you say it?
Emphasis?
No, like, I forgot the word. Like, if you want to put your company on the car, it just gives you more placing to put this.
Right, so the halo, okay, it's added space for advertisement.
Advertisement, yes.
Okay.
You know.
I don't think they have the halo in NASCAR because NASCAR have to be vehicles that actually are commercially available. But they do have, I believe, what's called like a cage. So the car has a metal cage around it so that even if it flips over, you won't necessarily die from that. NASCAR, I mean, it's crazy, right? It's very American. You go around a loop pretty much. There's not that much... changes in anything. It's just going in a loop and trying not to crash into the other people.
A lot of Southern America would love that sport. I don't know why.
Yeah, they love it. It's almost like cowboys. It's like people that like cowboys like NASCAR.
or they're like their cousins.
Right. If you find your cousin attractive, you might like NASCAR.
You probably like Dale Earnhardt or something.
Damn, that's fucked. Bro, we have a lot of people like in middle America that listen to the podcast. And we don't want them to think any like, you know, we're cool with them. Like, hey, dude.
But maybe they're married to their cousins.
Bro, if in your state it's legal to fuck your cousin, who the fuck am I to like say anything about that? Right. You know?
Right.
That's your thing. That's, you know, just watch out. The kids might come out a little different, you know, with a little tism.
Tism.
Gotta watch out.
I don't know. I like the changes that they've made. I find myself not watching football as much as I used to before because of timing issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's not going to keep me away from watching it. So, I mean, I'm all for the player safety.
I'm all for player safety. The other day, I sent you a crazy stat that had to do with... like betting in sports, right? It's becoming legal in many states in the United States. So this is, you know, very relevant. And they did like a study of where the money comes from betting, right? Like specifically from what type of bets. So I'm going to tell you, because I found the data to be quite interesting. And I'm trying to find the fucking thing I sent you, but we sent each other so many shit. Oh no, I think I sent it to you through the WhatsApp. So my
through
bad,
the
guys.
WhatsApp.
I know that this doesn't translate good on the podcast. Us like wasting
this,
time.
It just shows how ready we are.
No, I mean it's the readiness in our eyes. I'm almost there. I almost got it. Just bear with me. 5 seconds. If you find it sooner, Chef Maurice, let me know.
Damn, we do send each other a bunch of shit.
All right, so here it is. According to Forbes Sports, DraftKings and FanDuel, very famous betting platforms, have made a combined $9.97 billion in profit so far in 2024. And this is the interesting part. 85% of those profits come from parlays. 10% of the profits come from online casinos. So like, yeah, just online digital casinos. And then only 5% of the profits come from straight wagers or straight bets, which are bets when you just bet a simple outcome. Like two teams are playing, I bet for this one to win. That's it. And I wanted to ask you about this because you have friends that bet. And this is something that's... It's really, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, it's more of a recent thing in the last 10 years that parlays have become a thing. I don't know if this was available in the past, but, you know, for people that aren't aware, a parlay is a sequence of bets, and it only pays if all of the sub-bets are met. So what you do is, I bet on this game, I also bet on this other game, and I also bet on this other game, 3 games. And all of those results have to come out to whatever you predicted. And it is true. If you get it, the payout is very big. But the odds become smaller and smaller. I found this to be quite interesting because it's like people don't give a fuck about like a sure win if it doesn't give you that much of a profit. They're like, no, I want the thing that is very unlikely to happen. But if I get it, I'm a millionaire. So they bet on like 10 games. And it's so unlikely for that to happen. I wanted to ask you, first, do you feel this? Have you seen this shift? And if so, do you think that parlays are like the lotto for bros? Like older women, right? They might, or older people, they might play the lotto. That's their little hope every week.
Mm.
It's very unlikely for it to happen, but the hope of it happening, because the payout is so big, is what keeps you alive. Do you think parlays do that? Because now people don't even, like you said, like you see here, 5% do straight bets. The rest do parlays. Like, what the fuck?
I think parlays is what's going to make you like more into it, right? Because if you have, you know, several games going at once, it's just going to keep you watching and being on top of it all the time. And I think it's what, a lot of people are seeking that thrill of of finding different reasons to watch a game that may not be the most likable game. That happens a lot in the NFL, that there's usually like one game a week that kind of sucks, but people bet on it, so they have a reason to watch it.
Hmm. Right, but
I do.
But what about the parlays specifically? Like, what do you think makes, like in your case, does this fall through with you? When you're going to bet, you prefer to do parlays than a straight bet?
I'd rather do parlays because the payout is much bigger, but I also understand it's much harder to hit them. And then when you do hit them, you're kind of happy. You're like, eh, all right, now let's bet whatever I want on the next parlay, and then you lose it all. So
do you think that just making a straight bet in one game is just too boring? Like these days you need a lot more thrill to get your little, you know, taint tickling?
I think maybe that's it. You need that thrill of it, that little itch.
You need just you need like more.
Well, like, that's one of the epidemics about betting, that you need more of it. And then that's why a lot of people go bankrupt on it.
And that's what people start betting on, like the Lithuanian Basketball League type shit. It's like, whatever is on, I need to bet. Yeah. I mean, the whole betting thing, obviously, it can become a vice. I can also see how it can become fun with this bet. But I do find it funny that, like, whenever I speak to my cousins and friends that do bet on sports, it's always parlays. And then I saw this report that confirmed that 85% of all bets, of all profits, come from parlay bets, and then only 5% come from straight bets. This also shows that the companies make a lot more profit when you play a parlay. So for them, for DraftKings or whatever platform, for them, it is better if you do parlays because they know there's a lot less chance of you getting it. And they reel you in with a payout. They're like, yeah, I'll offer you this crazy payout because it's very unlikely for it to happen. So at the end of the day, even though it might seem more exciting to play parlays, if you want to be smart about it, you'll probably be more successful if you do straight bets. I know it's boring. I know the multiple of winning is like, you know, 2.5. It's not that exciting, but it is a lot more intelligent if you want to actually win.
Mm. You know that you can also do like parlays on, I don't know, in soccer, you can do like who scores, how many goals, if this person is going to get a yellow card or, you know. So it doesn't have to be just the outcome of a game. But you can bet on much more things than just that. And you can see that going up when the Super Bowl comes around, because people started betting on like the color of the Gatorade that they're going to pour on the coach, or if the coin toss is going to be heads or tails. So that you can add it to your existing one. So this guy's going to run for, you know, whatever yardage, or he's going to have as many touchdowns. Plus that, he's just going to keep adding up the amount.
No, I think that's actually cool. The fact that you can bet on such weird things about the game, not just the outcome of it, which will be the most default and classic bet. However, coming from a person that's not a professional bettor, I don't bet at all, but just from logic and looking at these numbers, you can still bet on those little weird things, like how many corner kicks are there going to be, how many offsides. You can do that. But do it on individual bets. I know it seems boring. I know the multiples of winning is going to be... But the thing is, when you start putting it with a parlay, now each of those events is going to ultimately fuck up the whole chain. And the possibility of just one of them fucking up and fucking the whole thing is so much greater than you winning. So, I mean, if you want to win, it's best to do straight bets from what I can see.
I remember during the pandemic, I had a coworker who used to be big on betting, and he got me into it a little bit. And one day I did a parlay that every single thing hit, and then we were just waiting for one outcome of one of the games. That went into like literally the last second, It was like a field goal, and the guy missed it, and we were watching it live, and my heart just like sank. I was very sad, and I had only bet $2,
right.
And I would have won. I think it was like $100.
Yeah, so, but think about it: if you would have done, you know, 7 individual bets, you would have won 6, and then you lost 1.
Right.
But I mean, I understand, I mean, the thrill is different, right? You want the thrill.
Yeah, yeah. That's what made me watch a game that I would have never watched before. Mm. So is it for the bros? Yeah, for sure. I can see Chad and Justin. Just, hey, bro.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm down to go to Vegas and do parlays, but I'm just saying it isn't, you know, the main thing, I think. All right, well, I did want to speak to you about some pretty interesting stuff I read today. I'm reading a book. It's called The War on the West. And it talks about how, you know, different groups are pushing DEI and, you know, this race-baiting agendas that are fucking up a lot of, you know, different ecosystems and universities and different places. And one of the things that the book was talking about was a situation in like very prestigious universities of music where you need to do auditions to get in. For many years, because they wanted to diversify, and more than that, diversify, make sure that the people that are being evaluated to go into the school and be accepted are being measured on their actual talent and merit, and that, you know, their color of their skin or whoever they look like wasn't something that the people in charge would use to discriminate, right? So for many years, I don't remember since when, auditions for music schools have been done in a blind system. It's a blind audition. So there's a screen blocking the actual view of the player, and then the player plays the violin, the piano, whatever the fuck they play, but the person listening cannot see them. So you can only measure them by how good they are, right? Now, I would think that this is very fair, right? Because regardless of the color of your skin, if you're good enough, you get in. And the admission person doesn't know your color, where you're from, anything, so they can only go by the actual purity and goodness of how you are in your instrument. Now, what would happen is that, you know, you would have a lot more white people get in anyways because, well, the United States has a large percentage of white people, and for one reason or another, those type of groups tend to go for music more. Whatever the reason is, I don't care. I don't see it as an unfair thing. You have a system that you can try out to get in, and if you're good enough, you get in. That's it. Now, if it happens that a lot of Asians get in more than Latinos or whatever, all right, we as Latinos, if we want to be represented more in the music, then we need to figure out how the fuck we get better at it. But we don't, you know, I think that the system should be like that. It should be a blind audition so that you can only be measured on this. Now, what is happening now is that this that was established as a audition system that will be fair and non-biased and non-discriminatory now is being challenged by DEI and woke people saying that, no, we need to not have blind auditions so that we can actually see if the person is black or Latino and we can admit them into the college so that we can diversify the college more. So pretty much it's like, it doesn't matter how good you are, we just want diverse people to go into the college. And I just found this to be so fucking retarded, and I'm so happy that a lot of the people in the world are waking up to this fucking idiotic way of thinking that is just poisoning the world. You're a chef, right? Don't you think, I mean, yeah, in paper, don't you think that you should be evaluated purely on the skills of your cooking, regardless of the color of your skin or where you're from? Makes sense, right?
It does make sense. Yeah.
And if through those standards, it so happens that most chefs happen to be Asian or Jewish or Indian, whatever the fuck it is, would you think that's unfair? Or would you think, hey, well, whatever, for some reason those people gravitate more towards cooking? I mean, that's, some cultures gravitate towards other things, you know? Like, that's the world we live in. Like, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Have you ever seen The Voice?
Yeah.
I think they have one in Spain. The Voice Spain, I think it is. Anyways, that's the premise of it, right? Where the judges are not facing the contestant, and they're just going by purely their voice and their talent. And I think that's fair. Now, if you look at it, the show is not as popular as, let's say, American Idol, for example. And I don't know why that is, because I feel like it's fair when you're choosing a contestant and how good their talent is, not by their looks, but how good they are, rather than a place like American Idol, where you're being judged by your talent. And I think how you look has to come and be part of it. So, I mean, it is fair. It is fair. I'm against this, what you said about the wokeness of all this, this people that want to have a different feel for it. I feel like talent is much more important than the looks. And then if you want to have a decent college career, you know, don't let your looks be the judge of it.
Yeah, I just think it's crazy. Like, you know, people should join whatever the fuck they want to do and study what they want, and that's it. And they should be allowed to try out in a fair manner. Like, you know, I don't need there to be more scientists of Latino descent just because. Like, no, I want the best people there. Whatever they're from, like, when I want a doctor to operate on me, I don't give a fuck if the place is diverse. I want the best guy.
Right.
That's it. I don't care about the rest. So I really hope that this feeling I have now of this pushback coming back our way and sort of accepting that there's some people that have some weird ass thoughts and that we need to rectify. We've talked about it in the past as well with the whole, oh, I'm a woman, but I feel a man. No, we're women and we're men. That's it. And you're born with it. And that's it. Now, if you like the same sex, that's perfectly fine. I have a lot of friends that are gay and they're cool as fuck. I have a lot of lesbian friends. Those ones hurt a little more because it's like, damn, you're a girl that's pretty and you're not in the market for my friends, you know. Mm-hmm. With my friends that are gay, it's like, okay, better. Especially, I have good-looking gay friends that I'm like, perfect. You're one less person that I need to worry about as a competition. That's perfect.
It's a different way of seeing it.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, think about it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be judged by how I look, rather by my
like imagine you you applied to like do an internship in, I don't know, some big chef's kitchen, right? That you wanted to go to. Let's say that you find out they hire you and that they had a quota. They needed to have at least two people that are from Latino descent. Wouldn't you feel like a little shitty about it? You're like, damn, did I get in because I'm good or did I get in because I'm fucking Latino or whatever?
And I think a lot of the restaurants I worked at before have a quota that they needed to meet.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I worked in an Asian restaurant that didn't have any Asians, and then all of a sudden they needed to kind of pump up the numbers.
Right. I mean, like,
you know, as a customer, you don't want to go to a Chinese restaurant and see a bunch of Mexicans.
I mean, I'll be honest with you.
If the food is good.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, and this is something that people might not know, but Anthony Bourdain will talk about this a lot. The best restaurants that you go to, Michelin stars in New York, Chicago, whatever, in the back, you don't have fucking grandma cooking the meals. No, it's Salvadorians. And they do a hell of a job in the kitchen. So, yeah, I don't mind if it's, you know, what it, again, meritocracy. Who can do the fucking thing the best? That's the one I want. That's the one I want. That's it.
And if you're not performing, then you can.
Yeah, you can get the fuck out of here.
To the next guy.
Yeah, yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Go paint your hair blue. No, I mean, like, recently I heard some shit about, like, there being diversity programs in, like, pilot school where, like, to be a, become an airplane pilot, now you needed, like, quotas to fill in, so you needed more, like, black people, more women. It's like, what? The person that's going to make this steel cage fly in the air, he became a pilot because of a quota? Are you fucking stupid? Like, can people, like, look at this and think, like, this is retarded completely? How can you think that this is good? Even as a minority, you want meritocracy to exist. You want to make sure that even if you're black, Latino, or whatever the fuck you are, damn, that sounded a little aggressive, that you can get the abilities and the skills needed to be evaluated and acquire things in a fair world that doesn't care about your color, but about the things that you can accomplish. How much value can you bring to the system, to the fucking company, to the team? And if you don't think that way, then you're a weak little bitch. Damn, today I'm on fire. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. I'm a little bit aggressive today.
I like this, Kiko. I miss this, Kiko.
Sometimes I get a little aggressive because I read this book today. I gotta tell you what the author is. People think of him as like a right-wing racist, but listen. His name maybe, is...
maybe he is. We don't know.
Douglas Murray. He's like British guy that speaks like, you know, a lot. The immigration is, you know, very bad for the country. You know, no, but I swear, like, I'm reading the book. I'm almost done with it. It's very interesting. And, you know, one of the chapters was talking about gratitude. Because what's happening these days is that people are, like, for example, saying, oh, we need to take down statues of, like, past, you know, leaders because they were racist or they were linked to slavery or this and that. And it's like, look, man. 200 years ago and before that, everyone was doing horrible shit if you compare it to today's standards. Slavery was the thing to do. Not just black people were involved in slavery. Everyone was fucking slave. Indigenous people, slave people, African leaders, tribe leaders enslaved their own people. In Ireland, they were the first fucking slaves. In the Balkans, in Russia. I mean, slavery was how you got things done. That's how you built pyramids. You enslaved people. That was the world back then. So when they say like, oh no, Thomas Jefferson, he's a piece of shit because he owns slaves. It's like, bro, you need to look at history with a grain of salt in the sense of you cannot criticize them with today's standards. That's the whole point of progress. We've made it so far in the world that now we look at those behaviors and we're like, hey, some of that shit was fucked up. But that doesn't mean that Thomas Jefferson didn't do great things, that George Washington didn't do great things, you know, for the world. And one of the things that they do is that they look at the West, at, you know, what the West has been able to do in the last 500 years, and they look at all the bad. They don't look at any of the good. And then I say, okay, compared to what? What was the rest of the world doing that was so much better than what the West, Europe and the U.S. were able to do in the last 300 years? What was so great in other places? When you think about which places defend human rights the most, where you can be gay, not only with pride, but with flavor. You can live in Berlin and fuck a Venezuelan kid, 18 and over. And it's totally not only legal, it's like applauded. In Madrid, if you're not gay, you're boring.
Boo. Are you boring?
I'm boring, yeah. I do missionary. Like, I'm just boring as fuck. Cisgender male. Piece of shit. So, what I'm trying to say here is, compared to what? What other places? Okay, I ask you. Is there another place, aside from, like, the places in the West, like Australia, US, the UK, Europe, are there places aside from there where you can be gay, trans, whatever you want, think however you want, where you can become whatever career you want regardless of your color or where you're from? Is there a place where you can do that better than in those places I just mentioned?
Probably not. Probably not.
So why are we criticizing, not you and me, but like when I read these type of books and when I look online and I look at the people, oh yeah, the US is a piece of shit, racist country, homophobes. Okay, where are we doing this better? In what other country Do they do this better? Because from what I understand, there's countries where they will kill you if you suck a dick.
Damn, just for the taste?
Just for tasting the tip, bro. They'll behead you. Imagine that. I mean, I don't have intentions in sucking a dick in the near future, but I want to have the option. I want the option to be there. You know? You don't know if you become 80, you're like, hey. Let me see what it all, you know, it's all about. So, yeah, I know I'm not angry. I'm just, like, passionate about this topic because now I'm becoming even more, like, I don't give a fuck if you think I'm whatever the fuck you think. I'm not. I'm a good guy that I want the best for everybody. I have sisters. I have a mom. I have, you know, family members. And I don't care if you're gay, lesbian. That's fucking cool. I love that. Sexy. I wish I was, like, bi and I could just fuck anything. I mean, I wouldn't be able to anyways. I'm kind of married now, but you get what I'm saying? Like we don't have a problem with that. We grew up with a bunch of friends that were gay. Like, that was cool. For us millennials, that was, like, boring. Okay, you're gay. Boring. I mean, it wasn't boring. It was a little funny back then. It was still a little funny. But we didn't care. You remember our friend Carlos? Carlos, if you listen to the podcast, Venezuelan, super gay. He would go out with... He would go to prom with a girl, but we all knew Carlos is... You know, he's into dudes.
I went out once with a girl who was a lesbian. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And were you sort of the cover up for her?
Maybe it was that. She kept mentioning.
Or was she trying the chorizo? She's like, I mean, let me taste this for the last time. Do I like the chorizo?
Let me make sure. She kept bringing up an ex-boyfriend who was very, very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Very, it has a name. I can't remember the name now. Anyways, later on, I found out that the boyfriend was actually an ex-girlfriend. And yeah, that's how I found out. And she...
Okay, but
she
did you do things with this person? Did you kiss? Shit like that?
Yeah. We did a bunch of stuff.
Oh, you guys went out?
Yeah, out.
And
we
then
official, but we were like, okay, dating.
And then after you, she never tasted dick again.
I don't know. Maybe she has.
Because I mean, and this is not your fault or anything, but that is one uncomfortable moment. If you're with a girl that's trying to taste to see if she likes chorizo, and then after you, she decides to go lesbian, you feel a little, you know, culpable, like. Was I the last straw for her? Like, she's like, yeah, I definitely don't like this. And you're like, damn, maybe I didn't, you know, do my job well.
But also, I mean, I think she was a lesbian before.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wanted to try something different, and that was it.
But it like to try something different to be naughty, or was she trying to like...
Maybe she wants to discover herself.
But it wasn't to like, oh, no, I can't be a lesbian. Let me try chorizo again.
At least I didn't know. I mean, again, she didn't tell me she was a lesbian until later. So.
Okay. No, but hey, this is interesting because, again, I don't have a problem with this. That's cool with me. But if you think you were... no, today is bad. If you think you were born in the wrong body... That's called, what's it called? I think it's like, what's it called when you like think you see people and shit?
Hallucinate?
No, but like, there's a like a medical, you know that movie, The Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
He has this thing, it's like when you have a mental issue where you think you see people like that are following you. Can't remember, you have like not multiple personalities, but whatever the fuck. Yeah, like if you think you are wrong in the wrong body, there's two things here. Obviously, you have an issue, and that's not something that's bad. Like, we need to, you know, let's help you. But also, how do you know you were born in the wrong body when you don't know what it is to be born in the other body that you think you were born in? That's where the logic fucks me up. It's like, let's say you were born a man, but you think you're a woman. How do you know you feel like a woman if you've never been a woman? You don't know what being a woman feels like. So how the fuck are you telling me that you are not a man and you're a woman when you have only known how to feel like a man?
I think you have a point there.
This episode is definitely not being shared by the algorithmic. But I mean, I don't know. Is it bad to talk about this? Like, I'm tired of this BS. Like, can we just look, like, can we just talk like normal people and not be caught up on this bullshit? By the way, if you have a chance, go watch the movie Am I Racist by Matt Walsh. It's in the movie theaters, but you probably won't be able to go. But it's like about, he interviews a bunch of people in the U.S. and sort of makes it obvious that whatever people are talking about racism in the U.S. being a big thing is actually not. And most of us just live a life where we don't really look at race as an important thing. Like when you and me were going through the American school system in the early 2000s, I noticed there were Chinese people, black people, Latin people, white people. And to me, aside from recognizing those things that you see, okay. It was never like, oh, because they're this. No, it was like, yeah, you just hung out with whoever was nice to you. And, you know, like my first girlfriend, okay, I'll say who I lost my virginity to, was as white as you can get.
Does she have a name?
Yeah, I'll only say her first name. Her name was Jessica. But she was like straight up blonde, blue eyes girl. You remember her. You met her, right?
I met her.
Yeah, you met her friend
Where
too.
Where is she now?
You met her friend. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Is she married?
I think she married like a black guy. I think with me, she tried Latino and then she went straight black, which is cool too. Like that's the world that we come from. Just mix races, you know, you fuck an Indian girl and then you have babies that look Latino and Indian. The other day I went to this weed association that I'm part of. This is a very weird illegal thing that's going on. There's an illegal organization going on and I'm part of it. Okay. And the guy there was like, hey, you look gypsy. But not in a bad way, like you look Gitano. I had just gotten my fresh cut, and I'm like, hey, maybe us Latinos with a little tan, we look a little Gitano, a little gypsy, that's fine. And I was like, hey, you know what? I like the mixture of cultures. I love all that. I love for all these different cultures to meet and embrace the things that we have different, but also embrace the things we have in common. Cultures have to have common ground on certain things, like what? We need to respect women. Women are worth the same as men here, not like dogs. We also respect the gays and the lesbos. Homies. So what's the problem? What's the fucking problem? The only problem are the psychos that they think they're a fucking iguana. That's the problem. Have you ever, Chef Maurice, woke up one day and thought, hey, I feel like an iguana?
Because of the different skins? I don't know.
Have you ever, as a young boy, discovering your sexuality, us that we're not circumcised, you know, because we're not supporters of genitalia mutilation in babies. Have you ever, when you were a kid, pulled the extra skin on your penis, pulled it forward and think, oh, shit, I feel like I'm a lizard?
Probably. I just don't remember it. Probably has happened.
I remember grabbing the extra skin and like twisting it and making it like two little horns. So my penis looked like a snail. I don't know if you get the visuals. Unfortunately, if you have an uncircumcised penis, right? Which is a normal penis, by the way. Okay?
It's a normal penis.
Normal. It's the biggest. And then you pull, I don't know if you can do it now with a grown man one, but I haven't tried it in years, decades. But if you pull each sort of corner of the extra skin and you twist it and pull it up, you kind of make like a little horn and it looks like a snail. Anyways, so what I'm trying to say is discovering your sexuality is part of life. But what I'm not down with is the bullshit. So just to conclude, and sort of, not conclude, but like just, you know, go.
Move on.
No, go through the points is meritocracy. So whoever gets this spot, the job, the whatever the position, is whoever's best at it, regardless of.
Maybe Jessica went through meritocracy.
In what sense?
She married, she tried a lot and then she married the one that was best for the job.
Yeah, and apparently I wasn't. I do believe it has something to do with me being Latino. And not because she was against Latinos, but it's like more like a cultural thing. She's like, this guy's an American as much as I would want him to be. He doesn't get 4th of July. Accent. Yeah, he has a fucking strong accent, and my dad is not cool with it. And then, hey, I don't find it to be racist. I think that's cool.
Right.
I think a father should be like, yeah, I don't want your boyfriend to have an accent. I think that's perfectly understandable. Although I don't agree with it, I got to respect it.
Mm. So 18, 19-year-old Kiko would be okay with this.
Yeah.
Hurt, yeah. But okay.
I would be hurt, but yeah. But anyways, otherwise I would have had like a son named like, you know, Jaden or some shit. Anyways, so meritocracy. Whoever's best at the job gets it. I don't care where you're from, what your color is, whatever. I don't even care if you have an accent. That's fine. And then the other thing is you can be born a girl or a boy. And you can like boys or girls or both. If you're from South America, you can even like donkeys and shit. What you cannot do, okay, this is proven by science. What you cannot do is think that you are an iguana or anything else that you're not. Because then we're defying the laws of science and physics and biology. Like there's like three signs being violated right there. And for my friends that listen that at this age, they're teachers, right? Like we used to be the kids. Now people our age, they're teaching kids. So for all my friends that didn't really accomplish their dreams and teach in a middle school, teach the real stuff. This is a female chromosome is, you know, XX, and then a man chromosome XXY. Then if you have an extra one, then you come out with a little more happiness than the rest. But that's a different thing. Down.
They're down for it.
They're down. So that was just pretty much what I wanted to sort of clarify. So meritocracy, and then you're born, the sex you're born, and that's it.
I like today's episode.
Yeah? Yeah, the algorithm is going to fucking love it. And with this, I'm not saying you cannot have fun with it. Okay, we have friends that go to Thailand, which is famous for their ramen and lady boys. What is a lady boy? Can you explain to the people listening, what is a lady boy in Thailand?
Is it a boy that dresses as a girl?
I mean, I wanted you to say it with more confidence.
It's a boy that dresses as a girl and then shows their tiling.
Yeah, it's a boy that dresses as a girl and looks very pretty as a girl, but has a bigger penis than you.
For sure.
If you watch the second Hangover movie, there's a scene about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they have fun with it. Now, I gotta say, they don't think they're women. They know they're men with big penises, and they like to dress as a woman because some other men from the Netherlands and Germany get off on fucking them in that scenario. Is that all right? Yes, it's perfectly fine. I mean, as long as the person is overage and shit. Do I find that to be disgusting? No, not at all. I find that to be the creation of God, and I believe that those are things that make people happy, and whatever makes you happy has to be connected to some celestial, spiritual thing that makes us all be who we are, connected through the, you know, superior beings that look after us. South America, some person that lives in the inland countries of Venezuela. I won't say Colombia because I'm Venezuelan, you know, okay, but this happens everywhere in that area. Guy has a donkey that he has come to love for many years, and he has encounters of spiritualism, fornication, and penetration. Is that something that... Okay, sorry, yeah?
No, I was going to say, or what we call an Uncle Martinez.
Uncle Martinez. If you're from a South American country, you probably have an Uncle Martinez that back in the day used to have romantic relationships with Dorothy, the farm animal.
The donkey.
Yeah, it could be a donkey. Sometimes it's a goat. They say a goat is tighter, whatever that means. Smaller animal, I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that love can come in different ways. But at the end of the day, we need to be bound to reality. So, again, what are the messages of today's podcast? Okay, YouTube, listen up. Meritocracy. Whoever does the best job gets the job. You as a chef, when you go make food, they like, damn, this guy can cook. We want him. Do we want him because he looks like miscellaneous guy? I don't know if he's American or Latin. No, we don't. No, we want him because he can make the sauce. He makes the sauce. So that's the first thing, meritocracy. And the other thing is bound to reality. If you're born a boy, mm-hmm. you're a boy. If you're born a girl, you're a girl. If you're born a boy and you like boys, what are you?
Girl.
No, what? Come on, man. If you're born a boy and you like boys,
you're a boy.
You're gay.
You're gay.
Okay. If you like boys and you like girls,
you're a bi.
No, boy, girl, you're normal. No, I'm kidding. You're just a proud American. If you're a girl and you like a girl, that's pretty hot. Now you're a lesbo. Lesbian. Lesbianic.
You're my search engine on Pornhub.
Yeah, Pornhub. Okay. Favorites. And then if you're a guy and you like girls and guys, what are you? You're a greedy motherfucker. You want to eat from both sides. And that's fucked. On a moral level. I mean, not because of your sexuality, but more like, hey, stick to one side, you motherfucker. But anyways, if there's any comments from the people, if there's any critiques of what we said today, if there's any counterpoints, you can debate this. Hey, Kiko, by the way, I actually find that today, this morning, I woke up and I feel like, so I think you're wrong about the whole, and then we can debate about it. That's what the podcast was created. And these are the topics that Chef Maurice loves the most. These are the type of podcast that his future employees will look at and be like, hey, this guy is the type of person that we want in our kitchen, cutting to our vegetables, right. making the sauce.
It just, this podcast has gotten to people that I never thought it would get to. Let's just leave it at that.
Was that for real?
Yeah.
People have listened to this that you wouldn't have thought would listen?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Couple ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, maybe bitch. We'll get to succeeding. I'm succeeding. Jessica, damn. Jessica, if she was to watch this podcast, she's like, this guy has a worse accent than when I met him 17 years ago.
That's damn. Crazy. Maybe we should invite her.
No, that's crazy. Anyways, Chef Maurice is directly from San Francisco, the land of the versatile and the urban dwellers. I'm coming from Madrid, the land of the
tortilla.
Sexually deviant. Oh, yeah, the tortilla boys.
Tortilla boys.
All right, guys, remember, we're on every platform. It really helps us if you like it, if you leave comments, if you subscribe, obviously. But you can even leave like your own suggestions for topics. Hey, can you guys review this thing? I've been going through this. If you have an issue. Hey, bro, I've been going through this. You guys are a little older than me. I'm 25. I have an addiction to Xanax, and I really need your help. Hey, write to us. Either me, Chef Maurice, we're on TikTok and everything. What are all the other platforms that kids use these days? We're there.
MySpace,
we're there. AOL YouTube. Live, we're there. H5. H5? Like the letter H and then 5. Yeah, not like H5 people.
Is that where you're hanging out these days?
That's not what I do.